Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network, sponsored by TBILaw.com.
For automatic reminders about this radio show and other great survivor events,
sign up now for TBIFM.org.
When Attorney Gordon Johnson speaks about recovery, he isn't talking about the amount of money a survivor gets from a lawsuit or settlement. He is talking about getting better from the brain injury. Find him on the web at TBIFM.com or call 800-992-9447.
And now, it is time for another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show.
Hello, and welcome to tonight's show. We're getting to be a little closer to spring here in the Midwest. Boy, am I looking forward to it. Let's see, we got somebody in the chat room. Skype call button doesn't seem to work. Mine worked fine, so you might want to log in and try calling back on it. Okay, I've got a few housekeeping details to run through before we get on with our guest tonight, who I'm very excited to have, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. One thing that we want to remind you all of is that all of these live programs are archived almost immediately after they're aired, and they're in the on-demand section at Brain Injury Radio. So you needn't ever feel alone or isolated in your recovery if you aren't able to listen to a live show for one reason or another, or you come in late or miss part of it. You can always go back and catch the show on demand. And 24/7, those are available to you. Also, we are very excited to announce in the last several days, actually, the peer group support line. We felt that there was a large gap between traditional medicine when they fix us up and patch us up and send us out into the world again. And actually, so does our guest tonight in a kind of same and different sort of way. And so between Brain Injury Radio and the peer group support line, which is like an 800 number, we hope to start filling those gaps with peer-to-peer support, which has been proven in many other programs, recovery programs, to be one of the most effective forms of recovery when someone who's actually walked in similar moccasins can relate to another survivor. The information for the peer support line is at a website called 4, peer, P-E-E-R-11.org. And maybe we can get Jenny to call in and give me, she gave me the, I'm going to type it in right now into the chat room. Again, that's the number 4peer11.org. It'll give you some information on the peer-to-peer support line. Oops. Somebody might want to correct that for me. Thank you, DJ. I see I'm transposing numbers tonight, so I could be a little tired. We hope to have this be a 24-hour, 24/7 support line. Right now, we are looking for volunteers. What that would mean is 4 hours a month of you volunteering your time as another survivor to field calls and talk to some other survivors. And so there's information on the hours, 7 days a week, that the peer support line is open currently, and information about how you can get signed up for the training if you'd like to donate four hours of your month to taking part in this project. I think you'll find it very fulfilling, help give you a sense of purpose as you reach out to another survivor, and I think this is just going to be a wonderful undertaking. So those are the couple of the announcements. I guess we thanked one of our sponsors, Gordon Johnson at tbilaw.com. And I think that is almost all of my housekeeping, except that if you're on the computer, you are also able to listen on the phone. I'm going to do an interview first, and then you can call in. I'll repeat the number later, but if you want to write it down now, the number to listen in, and then if you have a question, you'll press 1. That'll let me know that you have a question. And the phone number is 424-243-9540. Again, that's the guest call-in line. Now I'd like to give you a little bit of the intro to my guest tonight. I was very excited. We've had some authors on lately. It started with Fantastic Frank's show last Thursday night, where he had a new author named Amanda Nachman on, and she told about her book and her story, and it was a wonderful program. If you missed it, I suggest you go back to last Thursday, whatever that date was. Maybe check out Frank's show with Amanda. But while I was listening to that show, being an author myself, she, in passing, mentioned her publishing company. And so, naturally, I went to that site and I wanted to check out the publisher, and I was really blown away by what I saw. I not only saw, well, I didn't see a traditional publishing site like I was used to seeing. I saw a publishing site that had carved out a niche specifically in the TBI interest. Sorry, I'm losing a word. In any case, the books on that website are either survivor stories of people who have had TBIs, or they're resource books that help people recover and understand their TBIs. And so I was very excited. I took a chance phone call, got hooked up with the right person, and she is my guest tonight. I'm going to read you just a quick bio, and then we will bring Marilyn on the line with us. So my guest tonight is Marilyn Lash. She is a master's of social work. Marilyn has over 35 years of experience working with persons with disabilities and their families in medical, rehabilitation, educational, and vocational settings. Most recently, she has been addressing the emotional trauma of war with wives of wounded warriors. She is the president of Lash & Associates Publishing / Training, Inc., in Youngsville, North Carolina, author of many publications on the psychosocial impact of brain injury. Her writing and training emphasize coping strategies for families and practical interventions by professionals and educators in hospitals, rehabilitation, schools, and community programs. Trained as a social worker at Boston University's School of Social Work, she moved from clinical work to program development in the private and public sectors to expand program capacity for adults and children with disabilities. While at Tufts New England Medical Center in Boston, she developed national training programs at the Research and Training Center on Childhood Trauma. She is still an assistant clinical professor in the Department of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation at Tufts University School of Medicine. Her website at Lash Publishing is, and I'll type it in if somebody doesn't do it for me in the chat room, is lapublishing.com. Again, that's lapublishing.com. And without further ado, I'm going to bring on my guest tonight, Mrs. Marilyn Lash. Marilyn, are you with me?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, loud and clear. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
Well, you heard the intro that I gave you, and I was very excited to hear about Amanda's interview last week, and again, that prompted my interest in your company, and I was sorry that I didn't know about you when I was working on my own book a little bit over a year ago, but just so that our audience knows, I'm going to be doing some participating with Marilyn and her company, maybe doing a little bit of blogging and having my book be available on their site as well. But Marilyn, tell me a little of the backstory of, you know, I've looked at a lot of publishing sites and they have everything but, you know, from soup to nuts as far as the subject matter, but you actually singled out the niche of TBI. Can you tell me a little bit, tell our audience a little bit about why you selected that niche?
Sure. I grew up in a family where I had two older brothers, and, you know, we were your average middle-class working family. Life was rolling along just fine. And my middle brother had a series of concussions as a football player. And this really dates me. This was 50 years ago. I was a teenager at the time, and nobody really understood anything about mild brain injuries or concussions at that time. Mm-hmm. But I proceeded during my teenage years to live in a family that went from, you know, a pretty easygoing, ideal existence to being torn apart. After his fourth concussion, he had to drop out of college within 3 weeks and had all the classic symptoms of what we now know is post-concussion syndrome. Had headaches, couldn't follow a lecture, couldn't sleep, couldn't organize his thoughts. But we didn't know anything about concussion and brain injuries back then. And so what happened was over the next 10, 20 years, my family went through a really painful struggle of searching for a diagnosis, searching for effective treatment, spending down all their savings in desperate attempts to help him and save him. And it really came from that experience that spurred my interest in working with families, that really led to my going on to getting a degree in social work. I can remember too painfully the number of afternoons I spent in hospital waiting rooms, you know, waiting for my parents, not having my friends over because we never knew what he was going to say or how he was going to act. So that was really the impetus that led me into human services. Then as I progressed in my career, I really became committed to working with families because what I found is that too often we preach to the choir, that clinicians and professionals write for each other, they speak to each other at conferences, and the medical and the healthcare system is oriented towards those initial stages of treatment and care. Yet it's the family and the individuals who carry the long-term responsibilities of figuring out how to patch together their lives, how to move forward. And so
here.
Really became my niche.
Well, it's one of the things that we talk about here. You know, as far as I know, they still only have in their textbooks in medical school a couple of paragraphs that deal with what you just talked about. And so in the amount of time I've been a host, I've gotten emails and read in the chat, and there is such a huge gap, as you say. They don't give a heads up, that, no pun intended, about what we're to expect. And for 17 years, I thought I was the only one going through it. And then all of a sudden, you know, in the last year, I've met thousands all over the world going through the same things, both the survivors and the caregivers. And it just ain't coming from traditional medicine. So didn't want to interrupt you, but that is such a huge point that has been bore out all over the world time and time again to this day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. You know, unfortunately, we don't give families the recognition and value that they deserve. We don't give those human services the recognition and the value. I mean, you see it over and over again. The social worker's office is usually located in the basement. They're usually on the lower end of the totem pole when it comes to salaries. And it's very often the first service that is cut when cost containment measures are brought in. And that sends a real message in terms of how we value those who survive brain injuries and those who become the caregivers over the course of their lifetime. When I was at Tufts New England Medical Center, I had the opportunity to work on a large federal grant on childhood trauma, and I was especially interested in how families cope. And so I had a whole series of focus groups because I really believed that if you really want to find out what individuals are experiencing and how families are doing, go talk to them. And so I heard over and over again from families how hard it was for them to find information, that most of the information that was out there was in academic journals or clinical articles that were clinical research studies that largely portrayed families as dysfunctional. There was very little information available in terms of how do you support the positive strengths of families, how do you help them develop their coping mechanisms, and how do you help them rebuild their lives. And so that really was the basis of founding Lash & Associates Publishing Training. We wanted to do something different. We knew there were plenty of publishing companies out there who publish clinical textbooks, and there's a niche for that. But we wanted to publish information that was practical, user-friendly, understandable, and would give not only families and individuals with brain injuries the tools to rebuild their lives, but also give materials to the clinicians and therapists and providers who were treating them. And so that really was the founding basis for our company. We made a decision early on that our focus would be on acquired brain injury, that we would not limit it to traumatic brain injury, because we heard from so many people who had brain tumors or infections or diseases with an onset, you know, at some point in their lives, that so many of the challenges that they were facing were very similar to those who had been injured by trauma. And so all of our products have that generic approach to acquired brain injury.
And, you know, it's funny you'd wind up on this show. I said the other night it's interesting that I'd wind up being the Wednesday night host because DJ, one of the people in our chat room who's our master researcher, informed me that my ruptured brain aneurysm had been an acquired brain injury. And, of course, this group was predominantly TBI at the time, and the person that founded it, Brain Injury Radio, was TBI. But I noticed the same thing as you as an observer in the beginning, and that was I have had a couple friends who have had brain tumors, that regardless of the source of the brain injury, a lot of the residuals and the emotional shifts and the dynamic of the family are all very much the same. Of course, we all have a unique twist on our own story, but as far as the similarities, I completely agree with you, and that is kind of how I pattern my show, Recovery Now, is Well, first of all, one of my fundamental premises is that we're all, brain injury or not, recovering from something every day. But beyond that, in the brain injury world, again, regardless of what the initial trauma was, it was traumatic and it was in the brain. Mm-hmm. And so I really liked that when I saw it on your site, that you were looking at both of those things and, like you said, putting the impetus on brain injury across the board, because the need is there. When I first came on the show as a host, I said, and this mostly had to do with associations, various associations that were brain-related but separate. They did pigeonhole each one of the types of injuries, and my observation, because I personally didn't have any contact with any of them, there weren't any available in my area, but it seemed to me that it was kind of a frat house mentality that was a lot about public money and politics and not so much about survivor support. And they all do a fine job of lobbying and raising advocacy for their particular niche. But I do think there's a huge need. Again, another reason why, after viewing your site, it was very appealing for me to have you on as a guest, because it seemed like we're very aligned in our thinking about brain injury being a lot closer together, regardless of the source, the issues that we have to deal with, and I could see that from the materials that you offer on your site, so that's great.
Yeah, I agree. We have much more in common than we do differences among us.
Mm-hmm. Now, I noticed that you have not only, for those of you who haven't had a chance to look, again, I encourage you to check out lapublishing.com. I'll type that in when I'm done talking and she responds. But they not only have survivor stories, but they have, and I don't know what your technical name for them would be, but I would call them, you know, kind of rehab type resources. There was a couple of them that I wrote down I thought were interesting, and then you can tell about others. But one of them was a book on overcoming grief and loss after brain injury, and another was brain injury coping skills. But I noticed that you also had packets that had exercises that help build that brain muscle back up or help improve the memory. Maybe you can tell us a little more about those kind of things, and then we'll drop back to the survivor stories and some of the other services that you have.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. Well, let me start with some products that we call tip cards. These were actually the very first products that we wrote and published for the company 17 years ago. And we came up with this idea for tip cards, which are actually these little 8-page folded pamphlets, because in the focus groups that I had conducted with families, one of their common complaints was that therapists or physicians were giving them copied research articles that they would then take home. And I would often see these sitting on the coffee tables when I visited at their home. And they didn't make any sense. You know, they were clinical articles written for research journals that were primarily 80% pages about research methodology and very little practical information that families and survivors could understand. And they were so frustrated by this. And, you know, what they said was, I need information that I can read quickly. Our life is a mess. It's hectic in the house. I feel like I have 20 people pulling on me at the same time. I need something that I can sit down and read at my kitchen table in 5 or 10 minutes with a cup of coffee. I need something I can stick in my pocket or my pocketbook and take with me when we go to the therapist or the doctor, and I can ask him questions. And so that's how we came up with this concept of tip cards, which are literally 2,000-word pamphlets that focus on some particular aspect of brain injury. And we called them tip cards because the emphasis is on tips for questions to ask, things to look for, what to do. And again, you can read through them in 5 minutes. Those have been, those were initially the foundation of the company and continue to this day to be our most popular sellers. We now have over 150 tip cards on topics ranging from everything from memory, cognitive changes, communication changes, compassion fatigue, caregiver stress, sex and sexuality, going back to work. So that's one whole product line that we have. And then, as you say, we also have another line that is targeted for therapists and clinicians, whether they're working in hospitals or rehab programs or community programs, that are tools, rehabilitation tools. Some of them are on functional activities around behavior or cognition. Others are cognitive communication exercises. But again, they're hands-on programs and tools that clinicians can use. And then we have another whole line, which are our manuals. And again, they're targeted to on some specific aspect, whether it's educating children or students with brain injuries or managing care and services. So mm-hmm. that we have a huge array with over 200 products, literally something for everybody, no matter what stage you're in or where you are.
Right, and one thing I'd like to recommend is I look through some of those more geared toward professionals and clinicians. As we were talking on the show last night about, you know, we all want to bring the medical profession up to snuff on the reality of what thousands of us are dealing with, that we can't seem to get validated unless we have a visible issue. And we suggested last night that as people go to their doctors, whether it's a neurosurgeon, a neurologist, their internist, the therapist they might go to, speech therapy, occupational therapy, that they take a flyer for Brain Injury Radio, a flyer for peer group support. And now I would recommend that on one of those piece of papers or on one of your own that you jot down, please check out LA Publishing if you're interested in more treatment programs or tools for treatment for people with brain injuries, because at least in my area, we don't have a lot of neuropsychologists. So once you've gone to the doctor, and this is just my personal story, you know, once you've gone to the neurosurgeon, was a visiting man. He did a miraculous job with my surgery, didn't give me a heads up of what I might be dealing with later down the road, and then he left town. My internist was someone who had misdiagnosed me the day before, and through a series of miracles, I didn't die. I would have been going home alone, and I would have been dead by the next morning, because my brain was bleeding. And so I kind of fell through the cracks. And, you know, what a lot of people have said here, in fact, a gal in the chat room last night, the first line of defense is the surgeon says, when you come in complaining of a lot of the residual things that we all share, is they'll resolve in time with kind of a pat on the shoulder and sending you out, or they'll say the same thing and throw some pills at you. Others send you to a psychiatrist, mm-hmm. and they make a physical problem that we got from a brain injury into a mental problem, which in some cases I don't discount it completely, because after you haven't been validated or had support and been in isolation, you probably do have a little bit of an element that you need to deal with in the shrink boneyard. However, it originated out of a physical problem that doesn't seem to get validated on the other side of the net. And so I think for doctors to have it put in front of them, they're really busy. And if they start getting more and more, you know, with the publicity right now, it's good for all of us. even though the veterans and the sports figures are a small percentage of the people that are getting traumatic brain injuries, they are in the spotlight right now, which means the rest of us are too. And so the doctors are going to be hearing a lot more about this concept, and they're ill-equipped at the moment to deal with giving the answers that the survivors and caregivers need. So while we're in a posture of trying to help them by providing resources for peer group support, another thing we might add to our repertoire of help to these doctors, and all we got to do is, you know, you don't have to be in sales or a hard seller or anything. You just carry in a couple pieces of paper, hand them to the doctor, say, I thought you might be interested in these, and leave them, and that's it. And then it's up to them. You know, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make them drink. If they really do want to know more, you have saved them the trouble of doing the research, because it's right in front of them on a simple-to-read piece of paper, or we wouldn't be able to do it. So certainly I would hope that a doctor would be able to do it, and they would be able to go to your website and access some of those tools you were talking about and incorporate them into the various therapies that they're relegating you to, and might even bother to look at them themselves just so they can be knowledgeable on the subject, you know, as part of the treatment program.
Yeah. No, those are great suggestions. In fact, we've had the experience of mailing postcards to our customers, and our database is coded, so we know who are individuals with brain injuries or family members or therapists. And I've received phone calls saying, I have a client who just came into my clinic and he brought this postcard from you, and he asked me to call about this book on the postcard. And so that works. Another suggestion I have is one that I saw be very effective way back in my days when I was a social worker in rehabilitation. Now, at the time that I was working on a brain injury rehab unit, it was when people routinely started with 3 months of inpatient rehabilitation care for brain injury. This was before managed care. You know, now you're lucky if you get 3 weeks of rehabilitation as an inpatient, provided you have the insurance coverage. And many people don't even make it into rehabilitation. But one of the things that I learned when I was a social worker on a rehabilitation unit is that those of us who work in medical settings have a very limited perspective, because we only see people during that narrow window of time after their injury. And particularly if you work in an inpatient setting and you don't have access to treating patients as outpatients, you don't develop that long-term perspective, because you don't see people over the course of months and years after they've left the treatment setting. So I can still remember this young one woman who was on the unit where I was working, and she had been very, very severely injured. She had a whole host of cognitive, behavioral, and physical challenges. And I remember she was on the unit for about 4 months, and I remember she came back to visit about a year and a half or 2 years later, and literally none of us recognized her. And it made such an impact on the staff to see how well she had progressed and what a difference time had made in terms of her recovery. And that's a real gift that families and individuals with brain injuries can give back to the treating professionals, because often they don't get to see people, you know, over the long haul, and they do wonder, you know, what has happened to them. And I'm always amazed when I go to conferences, and there are many brain injury survivors, and I'm always amazed when I talk with people and hear their stories, and someone will tell me the story of how they were in a coma for, 2 or 3 months. And I'm so amazed at how well they have done. And so it often contradicts what you see in the literature. And so making that human connection of not only being visible, but letting people know that it is possible to rebuild your life is really, really important and can have an enormous impact on those clinicians who are treating people day in, day out, but often don't get that long picture. Oh dear, did I lose you?
Did you get me?
Oh, now
back?
You're back. I realized
okay.
I lost you.
No, I'm sorry, and my audience is going to laugh at this. I have tea to keep my voice good when I'm doing these shows, and my tea whistle has gone off on the air more than once, so I've learned to mute my mic, and I forget to unmute it. I apologize for that.
That's okay. I literally had just stopped and there was this dead silence and I thought, oh, have I been talking to myself for the last
time? No. I heard you the whole time and so did the audience. I muted my mic. I'm sorry, everybody. But my tea is wonderful. So in any case, what I was saying is I wanted to switch gears a little bit now because we're about halfway through the show and go to the survivor stories for a moment. Mm-hmm. And if a person wanted, another one of the many reasons I was prompted to have you on the show is that I did notice you had a variety of survivor stories, and I think mine will be joining yours pretty soon. And there are people that have been in the chat room and emails that I've gotten, different communications I've gotten with comments like, I've always wanted to write a book, I've started writing a book, I've journaled writing a book, why would anyone want to read my story? There's so many books out there about brain injury, what could I possibly have to add? So when hearing all those comments, I've given a couple of answers, and one of them I'm going to talk about later when the magazine and the blog come up. But what would you tell people who had those kind of comments, and how would a person start? Because as I understand it, you maybe tell a little bit about the type of thing you do with survivor stories, that you don't necessarily start from the beginning doing the editing and that sort of thing. You're a little different from that standpoint, but you do lead people down a trail because, like most of us, like me, you know, in the beginning I was clueless. And so if someone found your site and it says publishing and they see all the TBI stuff and they call you up and say, I have an idea or I'm in the process of writing a book, or they give you one of the things like I said, why, you know, I really want to write a book, but who would listen to me? What kind of tips do you give people to help them get started, and specifically what you do for those authors?
Yeah, we get phone calls like that every week. What I would suggest is go to the section on our website with our blog. It's lapublishing.com/blog. And this is the section that you're referring to that has the survivor stories and the survivor books. You know, I firmly believe everybody has a story to tell. Mm-hmm. The key is to figure out, who do you want to tell your story to, and why would they want to listen to your story? Those are really the first fundamental questions to ask. Now, when somebody calls me up and says, people tell me I should write my story, the first question that I ask is, have you done any writing? Undertaking a book as a first project is an enormous task. So what I suggest to people is look at our blog, and look, the blog is filled with short articles written by family members as well as persons with brain injury. And what I suggest to people is start out in small steps. Start by being a guest blogger with us. A blog is, you know, a short article, 200 to 500 words. You can't tell your life story in 500 words. But effective blogs zero in on some particular aspects, some particular aspect of a person's life or what's important to them at that time. You know, it may be dating after a brain injury, or it may be finding work, or it may be dealing with depression. I mean, you'll see on our blog the topics are just endless. So we encourage people to start out being guest bloggers with us, and that's really very, very easy. All they have to do is send us a Word document, and our staff takes care of everything else from there. That's also an opportunity for us to look at your writing style, your writing strengths, to look at how much help is needed in terms of editing or punctuation. So it's the beginning of a working relationship. We have several authors now that we publish books for that started out as guest bloggers for us, who then turned into regular bloggers, who then wrote tip cards, who then wrote their personal stories. And so it's a progression. So that's the place where I would start first.
Okay.
Now, the other piece of this is that the publishing world is really, really complex, and it's really changed a lot. And I know you and I talked a little about this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Finding a publisher is a really is a big task, and it's a complicated process. And I'm going to condense this down into real basics. There are big publishing houses out there where you really need an agent to get in the door. Having a manuscript accepted and published can easily take anywhere from 1 to 3 years. When you're looking for a publisher who operates on that basis, the publisher is very, very selective about which manuscripts and which authors they enter into agreements with, because that publishing company is making a major investment in terms of editorial work, graphic design, printing, marketing, sales. It's a huge investment. We think very carefully before we take on another book project. Now, there's been a lot of changes recently with digital printing and what's called online printing. And the easiest way that I can explain this is in the old days of publishing, all publishing was done on big printing presses. So mm-hmm. you have to do a print run anywhere from a minimum of 2,000 to 3,000 magazines or books or tip cards, whatever it was you were publishing, just to operate the presses. That's a huge investment. Now, with what's happened in the technology world, there is what we call digital printing, and this is where we've expanded our custom printing department, where we can print small quantities with very sophisticated printing equipment, but we can do it in quantities as small as 5 or 10 or 20 or 100 books at a time. So that has really opened up the arena for many people to publish their stories and work with a different type of company. Does that make sense?
It does, absolutely, and it made sense for me. You know, I talked to some independent musicians and authors, and they have their basement full of a box of 1,000 books that they had to buy that they couldn't
right.
move, that sit there and collect dust for the next 20 years. At your place, at the place that I wound up going through, you could, like you say, order 5 books, 25 books,
mm-hmm.
100 books. It's actually print on demand, the amount of books that you need, and that makes a huge – there's a lot of people who had great stories before, but they couldn't afford the services to put the book together and then to do that minimum order, and that knocked out a lot of good stories. You'd be surprised today that there is a lot more stories that can be told because of the new technology.
Right. And Amanda Nachman, who you interviewed just recently.
Actually, Frank did.
Oh, Frank did. Okay, thank you. She's a great example of someone who really did it right. She initially contacted us. She said she had written a book. She was looking for a publisher. I explained that that the publishing side of our company was not doing a lot in terms of survivor books, but we did have this custom printing department where we offered a print-on-demand service. So I suggested that she send me a table of contents and a couple sample chapters so I could look at her writing style, which she did, and I was very impressed with the quality of her writing. Then I suggested that she might start out being a guest blogger with us, which she did. And she was wonderful to work with. She submitted several blog articles, got great feedback on them. Meanwhile, she was working with an editor to polish up her manuscript. When that was all done, she then contacted us again, and she said, I would like to know if your custom printing department could give me a quote on the price for printing my book. And so we said, you know, we talked with her in terms of a color cover and black and white inside and how many pages and so forth. And we gave her a price, and she decided what quantity she wanted to start with so that she had an initial investment. But it was reasonable. I think she started with 50 or 100 books. I don't recall. Mm-hmm. And the arrangement was that we did the printing, but the responsibility for the sales and marketing is hers. The benefit on her end is that she can charge whatever she wants for her book and keep the difference. She did a wonderful job in terms of marketing herself. She continued to blog for us. We posted her book under our Survivor section on the blog. We gave a link directly to her so people could buy from it directly. And then she got herself on the circuit. She contacted the brain injury associations in various states. She spoke to the people on their conference committee. She got invited to speak at conferences. She did book signings. And within a month, she was back to us and said, okay, now I need 200 books. Yeah, she went to local bookstores in her town. You know, they have book signings. They have a little book reading event. She very quickly really put all the pieces together and was very effective. And we have several other people who followed that same path. So what I really want to say to your listeners is that this is possible. And this can be done, and we're glad to guide you through those steps.
Great. Yeah, that's just wonderful. Okay, well then, one of the exciting pieces of news, and I'm sorry, I was having a little technical difficulty, I was listening to you, but one of the things that's exciting, you've talked about the blog. Now you have something new coming out.
We do, and I really thank you for giving me the opportunity to tell people about this. For a long time, we have wanted to publish a magazine, and we are finally doing it. The premier issue of our new magazine launches April 15th, so there's finally some good news on Tax Day, and it's called Brain Injury Journey, Hope, Help, Healing. And again, if you go to our website, you'll find it right on the homepage. We have two options. You can sign up right on the website for a free electronic subscription. We'll be publishing it 6 times a year. Or for those of you like me who still like to have my printed version in front of me, you can also get a print subscription, which we will mail to you. But the philosophy behind the magazine is really consistent with the same philosophy for our company. Again, there are plenty of academic and research journals out there. There are various newsletters published by state organizations or advocacy organizations, but they're primarily focused on local events or local news. Mm-hmm. We wanted to do something in this magazine that would speak to the entire brain injury community, whether you're a family member, a caregiver, a civilian survivor, or a veteran, or a therapist, or a professional. And so we've recruited this wonderful, wonderful team of writers that is led by Barbara Stahura, who is our editor-in-chief, who also happens to be one of our authors. And again, just to prove what I was saying earlier, three of our authors for the special columns for the magazines actually started with us as guest bloggers. The way we've set up the magazine is, again, we wanted to have something in there for everybody. So instead of focusing issues on one particular topic, we have a line of columns set up for each issue. So there will always be a column on family dynamics. There will always be a column on caregiving. Another one on loss and grief. Another one from a survivor perspective on making your life better. There will always be a column on veterans, and another one from a provider perspective and reading room. So it's a really wonderful, wonderful magazine, and I really encourage people to sign up. We're really excited about it.
And I got all signed up for that, and I redid your lapublishing.com. You'll see it was on the left side, Brain Injury Journey Magazine,
yes.
Hope, Help, and Healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you just go to that site, lapublishing.com, look on the left for magazine. You can click that up and sign up for the magazine like I did the other night. And again, in the vein of what Marilyn was talking about, if you're someone who's been interested in writing in the past and maybe had visions of doing a book but found that it was going to be overwhelming to you, it is a good, as she said, a great place to start writing a blog or perhaps submitting articles to this new magazine that has just gotten launched in April. And that's two places, right on LA Publishing, Lash Publishing, where you can have an opportunity to do three things, and that's take the baby steps through maybe doing a little blogging, perhaps submitting an article to their new magazine, and ultimately having them help point you in a direction as far as writing a full book of your own. And there was a question here. Did you say April 15th is
yes.
when the...
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you can go and sign up now, though. I did.
Mm-hmm.
So feel free to go to the website and sign up for the magazine, and then they will start... submitting those magazines, putting those magazines out, distributing was the word I was looking for, on
mm-hmm.
April 15th. Now,
right. if you sign up, if I can interrupt for a second, if you sign up for the
please.
Electronic free subscription, we will email you the link to the magazine when it goes up on our website. If you sign up for the paid printed subscription, we'll put the printed copy in the mail to you.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Super duper. Okay, we've got about 10 minutes left in the show, even less than that. I have a few callers. I want to explain. I want to stop for just a moment. Are you able to stay with us about 10 more minutes or so?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, then what I'll need to do, I'm going to let the first caller on, but please be aware, caller, I might have to pause you and do the ending. What happened? Or, no, I guess I don't. I booked an hour and a half show. Never mind. Forget all of that. But I will give a reminder to people who may want to go into the overtime when Marilyn is finished after these couple questions to call in to our guest line, 424-243-9540, and that way you'll be able to stay for the overtime where we do a little talking about our speaker and anything else that might be on our mind, and sometimes play a little music. So again, 424-243-9540. I promised her an hour interview, but we did cover a lot of territory, so I'm going to take these questions as they were lined up, and if you can kind of keep your question to the point, and you know, then we'll be able to come close to splitting what how long I told her she'd be here and the willingness she has to stay and answer a few questions. Now, I'm a little confused. This first person has been holding by far the longest, but they have a very odd phone number, so we're just going to check it out. Area code 111-1111. You're on the air live. May I ask who's calling? You do have your hands up. Area code 111? Nope. Okay. We'll put that person back on hold and maybe they'll reconsider. That is a very strange number. Not used to seeing that kind of thing. Okay. Area code 941, our technical in-house expert, DJ. This is Marilyn.
Marilyn, what a
Hi
joy.
There.
I got her back in it's going to be hard to keep this short, Kim. I'm going to really rifle through it. But I got her in October of 05, so I became a workers' compensation injury. I spent 16 days in a coma. I spent 22 days in ICU and, you know, lots of medical problems, obviously. But about 3 or 4 months into brain injury rehab, my case manager came out, and I was at a brain injury rehab by then, and she came out and said, I just don't understand anything of what they've written about you, you know, 12-drink-a-day alcoholic and this and that, and, you know, there was a whole mess of stuff that she showed me, and I said, that's ridiculous. I've been an athlete all my life. But anyway, long story short, from there, I started blogging every day. You know, mm-hmm. It's funny you said that, because I didn't know about Caring Bridge. This is 2006.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Facebook, Twitter, I didn't know about any of that stuff. What I did was I did an email every day, and I saved it to draft until the end of the day. And there was mm-hmm. upwards of 20, 25 people in the email, emails, you know, to the people that I would send it to. I forget what that's called, but address book.
Mm-hmm.
And it really incensed the nurse case manager, the brain injury rehab, that they weren't doing anything. And it was kind of like a blog that just went viral. I mean, people were just so mad with me in the brain injury rehab, travelers insurance and nurse case managers. Long story short, after about 800 straight days of doing this, travelers insurance finally settled with me. I quit doing it. I met Team Hoyt. I have those emails. I know I'm bouncing. I always get scared trying to go short because I can't go short. But the bottom line is I have those emails. I have the workers' comp experience. I have the litigation experience. I have hydrocephalus with a shunt in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned about Social Security. Matter of fact, I blogged on my Team High Level group. By the way, I sent you a Facebook request for friendship. DJ Asplund with my Red Sox jacket on. They're killing the Yankees right now. I have an awful lot to talk to you about. As a matter of fact, I spent an hour and a half on the phone today with Greg Ayotte from the Brain Injury Association.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
What I would like, and I've met Team Hoyt, Dick and Rick Hoyt.
Right, I know them. Yeah, because I used to be up in Boston. Yeah.
Well, Rick Hoyt was sent to Tufts University when he was mm-hmm. 10 years old, and they said to institutionalize him. And we all know how that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've met Dick and Rick. I'm former military too, but not a retired lieutenant colonel.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gone, I've seen, I've done. I advocate. When I sent you the friend request, it was actually a thought that I would bring you to the group I started on Facebook. There's about 150 people in there of all kinds of walks, from Kim and Murnie, aneurysm survivors, mothers of special needs. There's so many stories and there's so many layers to brain injury. To finish this up, what I talked to Greg about today was he saw a posting where I said, I want to write a series of books, but I only want $5 to $10 books, 30 to 40 pages, something that anybody can afford, 90 meals, 30 days on an FBI budget. Workers' compensation is not workers' compensation. There's layers to that. I was a longshore case. That's not the same as falling off a roof. Car accident, PIPs and stuff. I think that people write their book. It's 200 pages. It's their story. And that's wonderful. But I don't need to hear another brain injury story. I'm not sure if anybody else does. But I want to write a series of books, $5 to $10, 30 to 40 pages. Let's get to the heart of these problems. But my question is, how do you self-publish these types of books? Do you get involved in this? Is it going to be
We have done something like that. And, in fact, we have two very much like that we just did. Mike Strand is a survivor in Minnesota, and he wrote a column for the Minnesota Brain Injury Alliance for their newsletter for years. And he saved all his columns. And he put them together in a little book. And he sent it to me to take a look at. And I thought it was really wonderful because it was like, it was essays. I call it getting to the soul of brain injury. He writes these short little essays of about a page and a half each on different aspects of brain injury. And it's simply a great little collection. That's a book that I was so impressed by it. We took that on and added that to our product line. That's a $10 book, you know, that's like 66 pages. It's a good example of what you're talking about. I just did another one for Wives of Wounded Warriors that's just a little 40-page booklet. And, again, we can design that, self-publish it. We can sell that for $7.50. So you're very much on target that there's a solid market out there for short pieces.
Yes.
That get to the heart of an issue.
Especially in the brain injury market, you know, we don't have the attention span to read a 200-page book, so I think that's a really good question, DJ.
Well,
and I'll make sure I friend you on Facebook.
Okay. I will put you in the team high-level group that I started. It's all different types of survivors. There's gunshot wound, there's Kim and Murnie, like I said, aneurysm. I'm a traumatic brain injury survivor where I hit my head. I'm a worker's comp. I mean, there's mothers of special needs of all different types, CP, autism, car accident, brain injury, eight-year-olds. Then there's the school system. So I'm thinking, you know, I also have a copyrighted Brain and Arms logo that I thought of. I got a blood red brain and then went and got a Muscle Fitness magazine. I ripped the cover off and I gave it to a girl that's an artist that got in a car accident. She has no use of her left arm. It literally dangled. And with her right arm, she drew the Brain and Arms logo. When you get into my page, just take a look at my pictures. You'll see it. It's copyrighted.
Okay.
It's unique. And I want people to think high level of brain injuries.
Yeah.
So I already have that copyrighted, and I can use that on a copy of a – or on a cover of a book. But I want to do a series, and Greg wants to help me. He's a great guy. He comes from the brain injury model. And I probably shouldn't say this on air, but Greg told me today, he said, you've got to be the poster child of all of what not to do in brain injury rehabilitation to a brain injured person. They did everything wrong. They bothered me. They lied about me. They slandered me. I mean, my story would only be one chapter in a book. But I don't think that my story alone should be printed, but it should be somewhere. So I'm thinking a series of books. We're thinking about having a brain injury convention next year in Vegas, and I'm thinking about maybe a stand where somebody comes up and says, hey, look, you know, I've got a three-year-old son that had a brain injury. He's going to go to school. What do I do? IDEA Law, 504, IEP. Here, this is the book. Give me $7. And then march off. You know, make sure you get your IEP. Make sure you get it signed. It makes me feel so good when people get real, real help.
Yep,
I agree with
DJ,
you.
I don't want to cut you off, but I promised her an hour, and we got a bunch of callers. Excellent point, and I hope you can stay for a minute over overtime because I'd like to to comment on that. I think it's a great idea, and thank you so much for calling in and letting everybody else hear that idea.
Well, it's 71 and...
Oops. Sorry about that. I had already started. Area code 585. Frank, you're on the air.
Hi. How are you doing, Kim?
I'm good.
Good. We're all doing good.
You know, I've written my own book. It's called How I Turned My Disability into an Asset, From Flawed to Fantastic. It's around 68 pages, and I'm having it edited right now. Now, could you, Marilyn, could you have this printed up for me or not?
The first step would be for you to call us at the company and ask to speak with Bob. And he'll he'll go over with you what he needs some information from you, and if you could send us a sample, would certainly like to take a look at it.
Yeah,
okay.
Frank, if you go to lapublishing.com, they have contact information there. All you have to do is call the number and ask for Bob. He would be the one in charge of doing that. So if you do already have a book started, I guess that's a great question, Frank, not only for you or anybody else, but if somebody already has their book done and are maybe interested in having it printed, I would personally first suggest that you get the book edited because you want to put out a quality product, and then you do call and talk to Bob at LA Publishing about the printing of your book. And they also have a program that another fella, Nick, can tell you about. After you've talked to Bob, if you decide to go through the printing, they have a way of helping you marketing your book as well. So that's a great question.
Okay. I'm on the website. Am I supposed to call up this phone number? 919-556-0300?
Right.
Yes. And then ask for Bob.
Or you can send us an email message, whichever you prefer.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for your help, because I'm about ready to freak out over all these people who want to get involved with my book. I've had this one book edited already. I've spent maybe, I don't know, a lot of money trying to get this book done. It's taken me over 2 years to get this done. And now I'm working with this other woman, and she wants me to go and have it edited again. I just got paid $1,000 to have this book edited already, and I'm not going to pay to have someone else re-edit it.
I don't think you should. In fact, Frank, maybe you should talk to me off the air a little bit about that, since I've been through it once before, and then definitely talk to Bob.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Kim. Thank you for allowing me to speak to Marilyn.
And bless you for having your wonderful show last week. Again, I'll say the reason I heard in passing about Lash Publishing is because of listening to your wonderful interview with Amanda last week, and you weren't online at the beginning of the show when I said that if people didn't hear your interview last Thursday with author Amanda, to go back and check it out, because Lash Publishing was her publisher. So in any case, thanks so much for calling in. I'm willing to help you with that. Don't give anybody another dime for editing until we've talked, and then certainly talk to Bob at Lash. And thanks so much for calling in, and stay if you want to be on overtime.
Thank you, Kim. I will stay. Thank you. God bless you, Kim. Goodbye.
And you too, Frank. Okay, we have just going down the line to the people who have been here the longest. Area code 404, and this is one of our great supporters and helpers, Jenny, meet Marilyn.
Hi, Jenny.
Yes. Hi, Marilyn Lash, and I'm delighted, and you have inspired me so much. I'm going to be very sure, I promise. I may be, about the blog, I may be able to do that now with the limit of the first one, and you inspired me. I do that now to support all survivors many nights on a support page that I do.
on Facebook. She's very good, and I think she should check in with you on that blogging.
That would be great. We're always looking for guest bloggers.
Well, it's slow, and I know that it's been a progression, and it's an evolution of who I am. But I love doing it, and it's always to try to help other survivors. But the question I had for you, real quick, is the starting blog, you said the word limit, and I thought you said something like 200 or 250.
Yeah, it should be somewhere between 250 to 500 words. That's a good length for a blog. That's roughly 1 to 2 pages typed.
Well, see, that's
blog...
something that I could probably do, and that is an absolute blessing for survivors because anything long is too hard for us cognitively to absolutely remember.
Yep.
Yeah,
I think you'd be great at it, Jenny.
I think the progression gives me hope. It gives me a dream. It gives me a prayer that there's something more for me out there. So bless you.
Yeah, and the nice thing about the blog, too, is, you know, people can comment on it. So, you know, again, you get a dialogue going with people who are reading. So I really encourage you.
Yeah, me too. And Jenny, I wouldn't discount the magazine either. You know, I've seen some of your articles, and you know, if the, you know, and I don't know what the whole situation. If they didn't have an opening for a guest blogger at that moment, write some things that you might submit to the magazine as well. I'd explore both of those options with them. So, thanks for calling in and clarifying that word count again, because I kind of wanted to go back and revisit that too. Great, great questions and comments.
Although, to be clear, I will say that the blog is really the best place to start. We always have openings on the blog. It will be a lot harder to get into the magazine, but the blog is the best way to start.
Okay,
great. One last question, because I know that Kim has seen one and she actually suggested it. Does the blog also let you do poetry for survivors?
Yes, yes. In fact, one of my favorite bloggers is Matt Brown, a veteran of Iraq. And he writes the most compelling poetry, and you'll find it on the blog under the veterans section. And, in fact, it's going to be featured in our magazine as well. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, Jenny, well, thank you so much for your call. And, again, hold if you want to carry on to overtime. And, yes, I would definitely submit that poem. That was just wonderful. We just have two more callers. We'll keep them quick. Keith Anthony, you are on the line.
Hi, Marion.
Hi there.
I'm calling from London, UK. I'm one of the hosts on Brain Injury Radio.
Oh, wow. Oh, I'm impressed.
I do the hypnotic recovery show because I'm a hypnotist.
And
I had my own brain injury 36 years ago now, to the day, in fact, literally.
It's, wow.
It's very spooky. I just realized that was the case. And just look at your website. It's fabulous. I really like it.
Thank you.
And a lot of people have said to me over the years that I should write a book, and I never had done, because I wouldn't have a clue where to start. So the advice you gave about starting off with blogging is very good. If I could compile everything that I've ever written on the internet since I started, I would have a huge book because I've written so much on the internet. So probably I should start, as you said, by blogging for you. So I'm looking. There's no way you can register. Do I have to telephone in to be able to do that?
Oh no! All you have to do is just with the contact us.
Yes.
Just send us a Word article. You can send it to the general address at orders@lapublishing.com, or you can send it directly to Nick@lapublishing.com. He manages the blog for us. It's very easy. You don't need to call. You can do this all by email.
Yeah, I'm even getting quoted on some of the stuff that I'm writing on Facebook. I've got a thing here on the screen that I've been quoted on recently. Shall I quickly read it to you?
That's terrific. I would love to see some of your writing. Yeah, please please email us with some samples.
I could do that, certainly. So so if I click on Contact Us, then I can write to you there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I address it to Nick.
Yes, nick@lapublishing.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay, fabulous.
Yeah, he's terrific. You'll really like working with him.
Great. Could you use some articles about hypnosis?
We don't have anything on hypnosis, so I think that would be of a lot of interest. Mm-hmm.
Okay, fabulous. Thanks very much for your time, and I really appreciate the work you're doing on with Lash. It's fabulous.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you
so
much.
I had a cup of tea here while we were talking.
Oh, good. Me too. So tea all around. We didn't catch your kettle ringing either, whistling either. Thanks, Keith Anthony. Do stick around for overtime if you like. And I'll go to our last caller that I'm showing on the board, and that is our Tuesday night host, I think. Is this Les Paul you're on the line?
It certainly is. How are you doing? And it's wonderful to finally meet you. And I've seen your website before, and I've seen books with your name all over it, but I've never spoken to you. It's wonderful to hear from you tonight. I host our Tuesday night show. I've actually been on the phone with someone trying to tell them they're not even a brain injury survivor. They're a spinal cord injury survivor. Mm-hmm. That helped me form our brain, and it started out as a brain and spinal cord injury survivor group, which was mm-hmm. unique at the time. Mm-hmm. And the spinal cord injury survivor helped me, the brain injury survivor, find myself when I was so lost in my head that I couldn't find my way out.
Mm-hmm.
She was amazing, and I was on the phone with her telling her about you trying to get her on the internet so she could call in tonight, but she couldn't get through because she was unable to because her attendant wasn't there, and she's a C4 or 5 quadriplegic.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady's story needs telling so bad, and I know you do primarily brain injury books, but I just wonder if there's any... I feel so compelled by her story, and that she's helped me so much become a brain injury radio host. No one would have ever met me on brain injury radio if it wasn't for this one person inspiring me to really reach inside of myself and find my way out of being
mm-hmm.
lost in my brain injury. Because, I mean, everybody had given up hope on me, and she kept saying, Les Paul, you have greatness in you. You don't surrender. You're not allowed to give up. I tell you what, don't you dare do it. And I saw her struggling just to breathe. And
mm-hmm.
her telling me that, and I'd have tear run down my face and saying,
mm-hmm.
I oh, my gosh, she believes in me more than I believe in myself, and how ashamed of myself am I. And so I was on the phone trying to tell her how to contact you tonight, and I missed part of it. But I wanted to ask the question, if you or Kim or any of the other authors in here could help direct her how to tell her story, because she has one of the most amazing recovery and survival stories I've ever heard in history. I mean, it's mind-boggling what this one person has been through, and she won an award called the Lady of Peace Award. She's inspired a lot of people.
Mm.
She's spoken at domestic violence hearings and speeches all over the state and in the country, and she's gotten so little help. And I just heard some wonderful things that are about to happen for her, but she even got trapped in a van that was on fire as recent as earlier in the middle of last year, and she couldn't get out. It was just fortunate there were a couple of people to rescue her out of it
mm-hmm.
as it went up in flames.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just trying to help her tonight. I'm not even going to talk about myself that much. I'm a traumatic brain injury survivor and aneurysm survivor. And I just wonder if you would have some links that I could give to her.
Yeah, I have a couple suggestions.
Okay.
I mean, the first is that I would still encourage her to think about being a guest blogger for us. Because I would not want to exclude her because her diagnosis is spinal cord injury rather than brain injury, because I firmly believe that, you know, the inner resources that she's had to draw on to from what she's experienced. And, you know, some of the internal battles that I'm sure she's fought, you know, in terms of how her body has changed, how herself has changed, how her world has changed. Again, and we have more in common than we do differences. So
that's
I think that she would have some very valuable experience
and something I just want to share
to impart.
One last thing I want to share before I forget it is she was the first person in the state of South Carolina to get out of a nursing home on a community-based waiver, and she chose to live in a nursing home and so her children would go to school and not worry about her for 19 years. It was in terrible conditions, and it just broke my heart to go there and visit her and see her do it. And my supervisor, Cindy Anzik, worked for several years to get a survivor, basically pay it forward program developed so that people could live in the community in their own home. And she was the first person in South Carolina, to my best of my belief. And her story is just fascinating.
That's an incredibly important, powerful story to tell. For example, I'm in North Carolina, so I'm her neighbor. And we don't have a community-based waiver in North Carolina. And that's a story that needs to be told to legislators, to advocates. That's really, really critical. There are still about 20 states around the country that still do not have community-based waivers. So that's an important piece. The other organizations that I would suggest she consider doing some writing for, whether it's in their newsletter or if they have blogs, would be the National Spinal Cord Injury Association and the I may not have the name right, but I believe it's the Christopher Reeves Foundation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with me tonight, and I'll get off so you can finish up because I know you're running out of time yourself.
I appreciate
being on tonight.
Thank you so much, Les Paul. Again, hang around for overtime if you like, and I apologize. We do only have like 7 minutes left in the show, but the person who is that 111 number actually wrote me, and they've been holding a half hour, so we'll just do a quick question, and it's the last one, and then I got to close the show, so we can't keep you any longer, and I appreciate your indulgence. Area code 765, you're on the air, finally, huh?
Hey, I made it. Hi, Marilyn, it's Matt Duffin.
Hi there.
I think you have met me at some of the conferences, and you came to our Bridging the Gap support group meeting last year. I bought one of your books off of you.
Oh, okay. Tell me your last name again.
Matt Duffin. I gave you a card about the radio show last September.
Oh, that's right. I remember. Yes.
Yeah, and you told me that you was busy until April. Could we talk about it then? And we don't have to, the star of the network. I'd rather you had Kim talking to you anyway. She can interview people better than me.
I don't know if that's true. You just caught her at a busy time, and we're only a couple days into April, so I just happened to catch her at a good time.
Oh, no. Great work of the whole nine yards. Right? No. I'm glad Marilyn's on. Like I talked to you today, Kim. It's all great.
Yeah, I remember you. Bob and I met you in Indiana.
I remember
you had asked me, and I was traveling too much at the time. So it's good to hear from you.
Right, yeah. Well, you might not remember because I know you're busy and traveling. I had mentioned Kim's book to you then and that she had wrote and produced hers. I believe that's when we were at the Marriott. I don't know.
Yeah. Everything comes around.
Well, there you go. There you go. You finally get to meet Kim, and that's what I was looking for.
Well, cool, Matt. I'm so glad you had a chance to call in and say hello. I'm not sure what that technical difficulty. I answered every single call on the board, and the top one that I opened first must have been the malfunctioning either Blog Talk Radio or Skype because it just showed 1111111 and nobody answered. So
it shut me off the first two times I tried to Skype, so it might not have been working, or it went well when it finally worked. It might not have been connecting real well. I don't understand what's going on here. I don't care right now. We'll figure it out. It's not my homework.
That's right. That's right. We learn as we go.
I had one question, I guess, and it's quick.
Uh-huh.
Are you still down in Evansville, or are you down and around there?
No, I'm in North Carolina.
Okay.
I flew in for that Indiana conference.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe, yeah. Okay.
But one of our authors, Barbara Stahura, is near you in Indiana.
That's right. And I've met her several times, too, right?
Yeah, she does the journaling workshops and journaling workbook. Yeah,
she
no, I'm in North Carolina.
She might be a good guest for you, Matt, if she's there
she
in your
be.
Neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I've asked her before. She's busy. You know, everybody,
I'll put in a word for you.
Once I started, Maria Blake, the Brain Injury Association lady, she gave me a
uh-huh.
list of people, and she emailed a lot of people for me, so... That's why I was wondering if you knew Dawn Westfall. She's a group leader down in Evansville.
Oh, yeah, she's one of our authors. She's a guest author for us in the first issue of the magazine. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Dawn's going to be on the show, my show, Sunday night.
Terrific. Yeah, I'll get in touch with you, and because I can suggest some of our authors that would be great guests, and I'd be glad to help you hook up.
Well, you know... Talk to Kim first.
we'll talk about it. It's cool. You should definitely talk to the lady that's in your neighborhood, and we'll talk about it. But I've got to wind it down for a minute. Stay, if you like,
yeah.
on overtime. Thank you so much for calling in.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks so much. I want to thank everybody who is listening tonight to the show. And Marilyn, I want to thank you so much for spending the overtime. I promised you an hour, but you're such a compelling guest that we just had a full chat room, fuller than I've ever had before, people wanting to talk to you. So I appreciate your indulgence in staying over longer, and I appreciate everything that you had to say. And I look forward to working with you in the future, and appreciate you being on tonight.
Oh, well, thank you so much. This was really delightful. Yeah, I look forward to developing our relationship. Thanks so much.
You bet. And again, everybody, check out lapublishing.com, and we'll have some other guests from Lash Publishing on in the future. Thanks so much, Marilyn. I'll just put you on hold, and I'll go through the rest of the ending of this part of the show.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks.
Should I hang up now?
Yes, you may.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Thanks so much. Again, we want to thank our sponsor, Gordon Johnson, TBI Law. That's tbilaw.org. And I want to thank you guys all for listening. You've been a wonderful audience tonight, wonderful participation. If you want to stay in for overtime, call in fast, 424-243-9540. And I'm going to close the show in the usual way, and that's something that I believe we all have, and that is a guardian angel. This song is by Leah West. I encourage you to check out her site, LEAHWEST, www.leahwest.com. She's a wonderful emerging artist, kind enough to loan me her music. So we'll close with Guardian Angel, and I'll see those of you that choose to stay for overtime in about 51 seconds. Again, thanks so much for being here. God bless.
God replies, yes, it's your time to leave. But don't you worry, you won't be there alone. You see, there's someone who's been waiting for you. Quietly hoping and praying, everyone is gone. With a God. Yeah.
Okay, that was Leah West, a portion of her song, Guardian Angel, from leahwest.com. I want to thank all of the people who are leaving for the evening. Thank you for listening to the live show. The rest of what's going to go on in overtime will be available on demand.